Hey, this is Russell, and I work at the video store, the place that we can all go to every week when it's movie night. On days like today, when the store is quiet, I get to watch movies and series and talk about them with my friends that work here. All right, let's do it. Let's open up the shop. Did you see that thing yesterday on the TV? Good morning, chaps.
Morning, Russell.
Howdy.
How are you guys doing?
Right, dude. How are you?
I'm lekker, man.
Nice.
I'm lekker. We had ourselves a great weekend at the Bioscope. Thank you for wandering into our video store. Yeah. We've got ourselves a Graham with us today.
Hello.
A G-Force, who, when not working a shift at the video store, is an editor.
Correct.
Then we've got ourselves a Cole Matthews.
Yeah.
Who, when not working at the video store, what do you call yourself, Cole?
I'm a digital copywriter.
Digital copywriter. All right, that's a good one. And then my name is Russell, and I own The Bioscope, which is an independent cinema here in Johannesburg. But we come together once a week, and we work in our beautiful and lovely video store, where there's lots of movies and lots of series up on the shelves, and we're here to just help you figure out what you can watch. So this is the Clerks episode, where it's the three of us having a good chat about all the film and TV that we're watching. And then on Thursday, we've carved out that space for a special bonus episode, if we have one. It's usually a guest that pops in, one of our lovely, loyal customers, and we have a good chat about the films that they've loved. But this Thursday, we're going to try something a little different.
Yeah, we are.
We are going to have a special episode based on Alien.
Yes, like the whole Alien franchise, basically. Well, not the whole franchise, but like the six main Alien films.
Because we've got Alien Romulus coming out
this week, yes.
Yeah, in the week that this episode is coming out, Alien Romulus starts in cinemas this weekend.
Yeah.
And it's one of those franchises that if you're in.
Yeah.
You love it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, I must say, it's dodged me most of the time.
Really?
So I think, obviously, Graham and Cole, you guys are the guys who are in it. Hey?
Yeah,
100%.
Okay, so we're going to have a cool episode that's going to be dedicated to Alien,
which
I think is going to be amazing.
Yeah.
And it's our chance to go into some deeper water, which I think is cool.
Into the weeds a little bit.
Lovely.
Nice.
It's us nerding out.
Yeah,
like, that's
much
what it
so.
Is. It's a nerdy episode.
Yeah.
We always kick off these episodes with a little bit of news and hot goss. We've formulated it in a fun little game called Hey, Did You Guys See?
Yeah.
Who wants to kick it off?
I can kick it off.
Okay.
Kick it.
Hey, did you guys see the trailer for Saturday Night?
Yes.
It looks really cool. So it's basically the story of the first ever Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
And what an absolute shit show it was.
It's very interesting. Mm. Hey. What are we? This is like 70s, hey? 80s?
Probably, I think it would have been 70s.
Yeah.
Given Jim Henson's involvement.
Yeah. And
I think
this
it would
is
have
like
70s.
Early Chevy Chase, Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah.
This is
Jim Belushi, all those guys.
You know, which went on to be SNL, Saturday Night Live, the show that we know, which, funny enough, now I guess lives more unlive. Now it lives more like on YouTube.
As clips on YouTube.
Yeah. But it's this. You know, for those who don't know, I don't know where you've been, but it's a live recorded improv show where they do a whole series of sketches.
Yeah.
They invite a famous person once a week.
Mm-hmm.
And there's lovely stories with all the famous comedians that have gone on to have, you know, incredible careers after working in Saturday Night Live, talking about the amazing week that they would have.
Exactly.
You know, they'd have to pitch these ideas. They'd have to the chaos of whether or not it lands or doesn't land. Cool. So this looks like a fun film.
I think it looks pretty good.
And the cast looks absolutely amazing.
So it is a good cast.
Finn Wolfhard.
Yeah.
Willem Dafoe. Dylan O'Brien.
Yes.
Who's Dylan O'Brien?
So Maze Runner, I think. Right?
Yeah, he's also in Love and Monsters. He's like the leader.
Oh,
Love
that guy. Yeah.
He's Dan Aykroyd.
Oh, is he playing Dan Aykroyd? Okay.
And then J.K. Simmons.
That's flattering for Dan Aykroyd.
It's very flattering for Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah, and then of course, there's Lorne Michaels is probably the chief of this movie, who's the guy behind Saturday Night Live.
And he's played by the guy who played young Steven Spielberg in Fablemans.
Oh, great.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, very lovely. Cool. But we don't know where it's going to end up.
Mm-mm.
I don't think it'll come to cinemas in South Africa.
Yeah, or maybe not South Africa, but we'll see, I guess.
And it's hopefully.
And it's just called Saturday Night.
It's called Saturday Night.
Because you forget that that's actually the name of the show.
Yes, it's Saturday Night Live. Like, and they're telling you that it's live on Saturday
Night. But the actual show is called It's Saturday Night. Because that's why the hosts always go, welcome to Saturday Night.
Yeah.
That's the name of the show.
That's actually the name of the show. Yeah.
And yeah, the cool thing is that it's directed by Jason Reitman.
Yes.
Who's that now?
So director of Juno, Up in the Air.
Okay.
The new Ghostbusters, because his dad directed them.
Yeah.
Young adult with Charlize Theron.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. Lekker. No, it should be a good one.
Mm.
That's a nice one.
It's promising.
Coley.
Hey, did you guys know?
Did you guys see?
Did you guys see that Joaquin Phoenix pulled out of a gay movie that he was shooting with Todd Haynes, director of Carol?
Yeah.
5 days before shooting.
Yes.
Interesting.
And the producer calls it an absolute nightmare.
I can imagine.
Because the entire funding of this project was contingent upon Joaquin Phoenix's involvement.
Right.
So 5 days before, this guy's essentially like sounded the death knell for this production.
Well, I wonder why.
Like, one can assume.
Has
been no announcements
no statement
why.
Or anything.
We can just speculate.
Right.
Interesting.
This is kind
but of it's amazing how it's just been labeled as like a gay movie.
And
it's like, can we not just have a movie?
It's an NC-17. No, they're saying NC-17 gay movie with Joaquin Phoenix.
Right.
So it was like, ooh.
Yeah, okay, so that gets some excitement.
Yes.
But now it's nothing.
For the nudies.
There are thousands upon thousands of incredible movies that just never happened.
Yeah.
Because of these moments.
Exactly.
And we live in an age now where we're hearing about them.
Yes.
Because we're reporting on these kinds of things, because they make for good news. But so much of this has happened over the years.
Yeah.
And we've just never known about it. It's interesting.
Yeah. Mm.
Should I do one?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay,
bro.
Cool. Hey, did you guys see there's going to be a remake of Labyrinth?
What?
With Tom Hiddleston, like Loki.
Yes.
With the music by Jonathan Davis. Do you know who Jonathan Davis is?
Yes, from Korn.
He's the lead singer of Korn.
What?
What the fuck?
And apparently it's coming in November of this year. And I don't know whether it's a movie or a TV show. I'm trying to figure it out. Could it all be real? Do you mind double checking me?
I'm going to double check this.
What is happening right now?
Yeah. And so I've seen like artwork.
That is insane.
Yeah. So Jonathan Davis is, Korn is a very particular brand of music.
Yes.
It's like industrial metal.
Yeah.
It's sort of devoid of a lot of harmony and nuance and melody.
Fascinating.
So that's interesting.
Didn't Marigold say that the original Labyrinth is one of her favorite movies?
Yeah, I think she did. Right. I'm yet to see it.
Right.
Same,
David
actually.
David Bowie, wild, trippy fantasy movie of the 80s, I think.
Bonkers.
Okay, well, it's not on IMDb as Tom Hiddleston showing up in it soon.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a little fakey. I don't know.
It
just seems wild. Well, then let's not spend too much time deliberating over something that could be fake. Do you have another one?
Well, hey, did you guys see? We will address this more later. D23 happened this weekend.
Yes.
Why is it still called D23?
I don't know.
Is it D2023 or should it be D24 now?
I imagine if it was determined by the year, it would be 24.
Yeah.
The 23 must be something else. I actually don't know.
Yeah.
Is this not the 23rd version of this expo?
It could be. Just look it up quickly. You have an internet on your lap, Cole.
Yeah. So this is the big convention that Disney will throw to launch their products.
To announce a bunch of things.
I think people have realized the power of something like Comic-Con, where you can create this big announcement for upcoming projects.
Mm.
I think in the past, we perhaps didn't announce things as far in advance.
Yes.
But in today's world, you kind of need as much hype building as you can, especially in sort of more geeky products, where people can start talking and coming up with what they think these things will be.
Mm.
And there is just so much being released these days that the more you can announce, the better. And the loudest microphone wins. Mm-hmm. So these big things happen. It's a great chance for press to announce these exciting moments.
Yeah.
They've basically got this weekend to do it, this past weekend that's just happened.
Yeah.
Thereafter, it becomes very normal news. Mm. But yeah, a bunch of big things got announced, most of which are sequels.
Oh, yeah.
Good old classic.
So we had this chat about Inside Out 2 making so much at the box office, yes. right? We were talking about what decision Pixar, at least, is going to make going forward.
Yeah.
And we were 100% right about their decisions.
Sure.
I think it's a little too early. Like, all of this stuff would have been in development already now. The gap between Inside Out 2 and now is too close. But either way, it's still just proves the trend, if nothing
There's another Zootopia.
Yeah. I think we can get into it later.
We'll get into it a lot
what
later.
What was announced and what trailers were shown and blah, blah, blah.
But in amongst that, there were newer, there are new IPs that they are establishing. But it just makes sense that you lean in, especially if you have a good world that you've built.
Yeah.
Like Zootopia is just a world full of animals. Like how much fun could you have? It would be silly to move on and create something entirely new. You, if there is gold in them hills.
Exactly.
Do that as long as new stuff is being created.
Yeah.
Gold in them hills.
Yeah. I'm an old miner at heart. I have another one.
Cool.
Yeah.
Hey, did you guys see how we are doing the tabs at the Bioscope for customers?
Oh, yeah.
So it's something we've long since spoken about, but we never enacted. Because with the Bioscope, it's really difficult. You're in a marathon, right? Every day you got to get up and do it again. So you sometimes lose the spark to kind of do some radically cool, fun, new thing. You kind of got to just keep going.
Yeah.
But we eventually enacted it. And what we've decided is a normal restaurant has tables.
Yes.
Where that would be called like table one, table two, table three.
Mm-hmm.
And your tab, when you create it, would just be a table one, table two. I now have put a little shelf of DVDs at the counter of the Bioscope. And when you are opening up a tab, you have to pick a movie off the shelf.
Amazing.
And the tab is going to be under that movie's name.
That's fun.
So that because at the Bioscope, unlike a normal restaurant, you don't sit down and stay at this table the whole night. Like you'll move. You'll go into the cinema.
Exactly.
You'll then maybe sit somewhere else after the movie. So you can just be this tab of Titanic, or we've got a whole bunch of different ones. Interstellar's there. There's a whole. I got a nice range of DVDs.
Cool.
And I just find it funny that was something that was, you know, an expensive product many years ago is now this kind of throwaway sort of product for the sake of our tabs. But the idea being that it's just something fun.
Yes,
it's just something a little different. It makes it very easy. To, you know, just in case someone gives their name in the past and we spell it wrong or there's confusion, it's now like, what tab? Titanic?
Yeah.
Is it under Titanic?
Okay, cool.
And whoever wants to order under that tab,
I had
it
a
makes
thought
it
now, like if an Interstellar bro gets the Titanic tab, how that's going to make him feel. But if someone like Michael, my boyfriend, gets the Interstellar tab, he's going to be like, what movie is this?
This looks cool. Spaceman.
This Buzz Lightyear, it's very offensive.
Hey, did you guys see the new Mufasa trailer?
Yes. I was going to bring that up in D23 talk.
Okay, cool. No, we'll talk about it a bit more later. Yeah. But yeah, more plots been revealed, more characters. It looks, looks interesting.
Yeah.
Ugh, says Carl. All right. Should we get into the movies?
Sure. Let's go for it.
So last week, we went to a bunch of premieres, which was nice and fun. And it also gives us a chance to see these movies before they're in cinemas. They are both now in cinemas. We had to split up because they were both on the same night.
Yeah.
So I went for Team Widow Clicko, which was just me. No one else seemed to want to join me. But it's totally fine. So I went and watched the film Widow Clicko, which I want to talk about. And you two went to go watch Borderlands.
Yes.
Mm.
So should we perhaps start with Borderlands?
Yeah, we may as well.
Let's start with the bad. Get the worst out of the way.
Tell me about it.
Okay, I'm going to put this the nicest way that I possibly can. It's fucking garbage.
Oh, shit.
It's a complete waste of 2 hours of your life.
It's staggeringly bad.
There's zero entertainment value.
Yeah.
Not funny? Like not jokes don't land?
Well, the audience was laughing. I don't know what they were laughing at, but they were laughing.
Okay, but so could it have... Like,
you know, Graham and I were sitting there like grunting through the whole movie kind of thing.
Did you guys play the game? Because it is a game adaptation.
A little bit. Not a huge amount. But even based on what I've read online, people who are big fans of the game are saying this isn't it.
Right.
I think it did it in like an $8 million opening weekend.
Yeah, which is tiny.
That's less than Cats. Less than Cats.
Okay. Wow.
It's dreadful. I think the important thing to talk about, or the fun fact about this movie, if we're going to get any value out of this in terms of a conversation.
Yeah.
Because I think we can just leave it at the fact that
it's
got a weird cast. It doesn't know who its audience is. Yeah. So it's just this weird thing that should be R-rated but isn't.
Apparently it was shot as an R-rated film.
Makes sense. Okay. Yeah. Because a director named Eli Roth. So a lot of people will know him from Tarantino movies, especially in Inglourious Basterds, where he played the bear Jew, guy with the baseball bat.
Yeah.
Is a horror film director.
Yeah, he's made some hardcore horror.
Yes. Hostile. So like body gore shit. Yeah. Right? Yeah. So when you hear that and you get him attached to Borderlands, if the director attached to your film is any kind of hint at what your film's going to be about for your audience, then fans of Borderlands might be like, okay, cool. We're going to get a hyper-violent R-rated Borderlands adaptation, which in theory sounds better than what we got.
Because the video games are M-rated, which is like the video game equivalent of an R rating.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's M, which is mature. So it's like adults only sort of thing.
Yeah, and I think with the success of Deadpool and Wolverine, you have to realize that R is fun. R-rated works. Like leaning into what it should be will pay off because there are enough, just even in history, there are enough like R-rated stuff that has been successful.
Mm.
Because there's a lot of fucking adults in this world.
Exactly.
And they want to watch movies that are like authentic to what they should be.
Yes.
And then all the kids years below will go in or sneak in or make a point to watch.
Yeah.
So they will be successful. To make it, to whittle it down will only compromise it.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So what happened was the studio wanted reshoots on Borderlands.
Okay.
Eli Roth had signed up to work on another movie. So he couldn't do the research. So Tim Miller was brought in.
Okay.
Director of Deadpool 1.
Yeah.
Right? So what you have ending up in this product is this thing that's, I'm pretty sure, not what the actors signed up to do.
Yeah.
And in that world, you can kind of see the casting working in like an R-rated space.
Yeah, it had a great cast.
I think like there's a good actors in it, but most of them are miscast for those roles.
Yes.
I think.
I mean, like you put Jamie Lee Curtis in, who just won her first Emmy and Oscar, like in recent years.
Yeah.
Right? It's an incredible screen icon. You have Cate Blanchett, who everyone loves.
Yeah.
And I mean, she's not bad in this by any stretch of the imagination. She does something good.
But Kevin Hart.
I mean, like, I feel like it's Kevin Hart's death knell for his career, dude. It's like the Kevin Hart era of hype is over.
Right? Well, something someone once said, which is that in this chaos of just so much being released, and everyone being in their own algorithm bubble, a misstep or a flop isn't as bad as it used to be.
Okay. Mm.
There was a point in your career where everyone was watching, and so if it failed, everybody saw you fail.
Yes.
Where now it's just like probably no one's talking about it.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen it and you're not hearing the hype and your friends aren't telling you at a braai that it's fucking awesome and you should go watch it.
Exactly.
If no one's talking about it, it's just going to disappear.
Yeah, like if you went up to someone who you know isn't like a movie person and said, have you seen Borderlands? They're going to say, have I seen what?
Yeah.
They don't know this movie even exists.
Yeah. And if you're not playing games and you maybe don't know that this game exists as well. So it was all quite new to me. And then when I saw the trailer coming up, the trailer looked pretty cool. And it also looked quite unique and colorful. And I was like, I wonder whether the Bioscope should screen it. Because, you know, the Bioscope's got a good geeky heart to it.
Yeah. Yes.
And like, would this be awesome? And then I sent you guys out. And you were like, it's trash. And I was like, cool, called it.
Yeah. And there's nothing worse than sitting in a cinema, in an IMAX cinema, ready for your IMAX experience. Yes. And then just not being entertained.
Yeah.
Like, at all.
Interesting. Well, over on the other side of Joburg.
Yes.
In Hyde Park, I went to go watch Widow Click Ho, which is arguably the complete opposite of Borderlands in almost every single way.
It sounds like Glubschutto.
What is that?
Gleb Schutzo is a fictional Star Wars character that someone made online. When at these D23 things, they'd show this character's in Star Wars, and everyone would lose their minds. Yeah. So someone that was jaded by this said, "Yay, Gleb Schutzo is in a new Star Wars movie. Who gives a fuck?" Widow Clicquot.
Yeah. So Verve Clicquot is arguably the most famous and well-established champagne brand in the world.
Right.
Okay. I am so uncultured.
Okay. If you... We all remember recently the sparkling wines of the Champagne region at one point said, no, fuck this.
Yeah.
You can only call yourself a champagne if you're from the Champagne region.
It's like Parmesan.
Same as cognac. Same as all these kind of well-established for centuries brands.
Yes.
So Verve Clicquot is one of those.
Mm-hmm.
The word Verve means widow.
Oh, okay.
So what happened in the Napoleonic era.
Yes.
Napoleonic era.
There you go.
Right at the end of it. That's the sort of time period we're talking about here. There was the Clicquot vineyards.
Right.
Which were relatively established. And at the forefront of it was this gentleman by the name of Francois Clicquot. And he was a troubled soul. He was a sensei. And what sort of 200 years ago we now know is probably like a depressed, mentally unstable person. And so he marries this woman, and by the early part of the movie, it's established that he has now passed away. Okay. And she has inherited the vineyards.
Right.
We are also at a time in history where a woman legally, under these laws of Napoleon, actually can't run a business.
Okay.
Which is wild.
Yes.
But by virtue of the fact that she got the will said that the vineyards got passed on to her, despite all these fucking men, she said, no, I want to continue the vineyards. I don't want to sell them to the likes of Moët and these other champagne brands.
Yes.
And the film is about her setting up the brand.
Okay.
At a time when it was, all the odds were stacked against her. So it's a lovely story of a strong woman character.
Okay.
She is considered in history to be the Grand Dame of Champagne.
Right.
And she established...
Grand Dame of Champagne.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful title.
No, it's very whimsical in a sense that it's a very... A little bit like what you described last week, Graham. It's a vibe. It's a vibe movie.
Okay, cool.
You know, the plot is quite thin, but it's okay.
Mm.
It's mostly about just the beauty of these vineyards and the story. And it sort of cuts between, you know, the time she did spend with this guy before he died and, you know, the love and the understanding of the alchemy of this champagne.
Right.
You know, how you add these things and sort of the stumbling blocks of this kind of first harvest and the economy of this of this vineyard.
Mm.
So it's lovely in that sense.
Okay.
And saw it coming a mile away as a good bioscope film, and it paid off because we had really good screenings.
Awesome.
Did you serve it with champagne?
So let's talk about the actual screening itself.
Yes.
I was like, when I went to this premiere, I was like, they better be fucking serving Clicquot. Not just any champagne, Verve Clicquot. And of course they were, which is great. And then I immediately said to the people I know who work for the distribution company, is the person who represents Clicquot in South Africa here? Because I want to meet them.
Yes.
Because I want to try and hook up some of this for like a drink along. Because before I'd seen the movie, I was like, I'm pretty sure you're going to watch this movie and want to drink champagne.
Exactly.
Yes.
Because you're going to see them sipping it.
Yes.
A little less than I thought, but still to some degree, you're going to want to drink champagne.
Okay.
And it just so happened, the woman next to me getting the champagne, I spark up this conversation with her, and she's this lovely woman called Rory, and she's involved. And so we're going to try and hook up some...
Cool.
Some Clicquot for future bioscope screenings.
Nice.
And for anyone that cares, it's got Tom Sturridge in it.
Okay.
Sturridge.
Who's the lead actor in Sandman, who plays Sandman.
Okay.
So he's Francois Clicquot.
Right.
I was kind of really excited, but then you said he died. So I was like, oh,
No, you see him throughout the movie because you keep going back to their relationship.
Oh, cool.
So he's a main character, 100%.
Okay. Is the champagne company actually involved in making the film?
I'm curious to know. I'm not 100% sure. You don't, it doesn't feel necessarily.
So it's not like their brand is like
up
front and center. It's like one of those movies as ad sort of thing that we get these days.
It didn't feel like that.
Okay, good.
I would imagine they.
Because I hate stuff like that.
I would imagine they've got some sense of involvement.
Okay.
But yeah, it was an interesting movie, and as I've described it, you can imagine it's a slow pace of a film. So it was an interesting moment. So you can imagine that in amongst this beautiful beautiful whimsical movie.
Yes.
If I told you like a very violent fight broke out.
I've been dying to hear about
this. In the middle of
this,
you would understand that it could have perhaps ruined my movie experience.
Was it the champagne?
No, that had nothing to do with it.
Okay.
Okay, so here's the deal.
It's like a beautiful circular story there, but I'm sure.
We as the video store, get invited to these premieres.
Yeah.
Some of them are very practical, very simple media screenings.
Mm.
Often those are at the cinema inside the distributor's office.
Yeah.
So you get a sandwich and a water and you go and you watch this movie. It's like there's no pageantry. Sometimes we go to these huge pageants.
Yes.
Like the Deadpool and Wolverine where it's like the craziest food and shit flying around, and like the Barbie one was all pink and awesome. So sometimes it's this huge thing, sometimes it's small. But we as these kind of media cinema folk, I think, are very attuned to the etiquette of cinema. Mm. We put our phones away. We keep quiet for the most part. Cole's a bit of a talker, but that's fine.
Sorry.
It's amongst ourselves. So I think they wished, so this distribution, I want to keep everyone's names out of this for the sake of it. So this distribution company is very smart in the sense that they've created this kind of this club idea around certain titles.
Yes.
And they activated this one in a pretty cool way. Definitely a more feminine film. So they partnered with a makeup brand.
Okay.
So you got given this makeup. And of course, as I said, at the core of it is champagne.
Mm.
So there was some champagne served. So I think you were quite hyped up for a movie that then, once it started, immediately presented itself as being quite slow.
Okay.
That if you were a person coming for a good night out or like a girl's night out,
right,
I think within about 10 minutes you could have gotten bored.
Right.
All right. So that's the only defense I give certain parties in this. The other one, the only defense I give is that the other party involved in this altercation were the people like us who are quite used to being in cinemas often, like not every now and again, like once a week.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened is there was clearly people on their phones. Now, some of these screenings, interestingly enough, not even a phone can be taken out of a pocket.
Yes.
There are guys in some of screenings we go to where there's security guards walking up and down the aisles, making sure nobody takes their phone out.
With even laser pointers.
Even a Deadpool and Wolverine, they had laser pointers. We've gone to some screenings where we've given up our phone.
Yes.
Where it goes into an envelope. But not this screening.
Hmm.
So folks were on their phones, some ladies, and the grumpier old men in the audience had obviously told them at some point to put away their phones. Yes. It's disturbing. But that was unbeknownst to me.
Right.
In the middle of the screening. Now I'm watching Francois and Bob Nicole like smooching in this kind of soft palette in the vineyards. You just
gorgeous.
hear like, put away your phones. And everyone's like deathly silent. But it's so loud that we all have to fucking hear it.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then everyone just sort of sniggers quiet and then we carry on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then the biggest mistake was the same voice going, if you don't want to be here, you should have stayed home. And then it's like, oh, that was way too much.
Yes.
Because then you just hear the retort was like, fuck you, man. You know? And then it's like, no, fuck you. Fuck you. And then at one point, we got very eloquent. Not we. Yes. They got very eloquent. At one point, it was like, fucking bitch ass motherfucker. Like, there was this full-on fight
Jesus.
In the cinema out loud for everyone.
Wow.
And then once it sort of dissipated, we got back to the sort of vineyards of the Champagne region. And then afterwards, I was talking to one of the people from the distribution company, and we were talking about the screenings at the Bioscope. And, you know, and it's exciting. Maybe we can do a drink along. And then one of these, one of the parties, the disgruntled, let's call it one of the disgruntled men, says, we've got to do something about phones.
Right.
And it's like, well, duty. I stayed out of this.
Yeah.
But it was like, my argument to that guy is like, you're at a free screening, man.
Yeah.
You know, and you have to accept the fact that it's not going to be like a normal paid screening. There are going to be people there. And you know what? If they're disturbing you, move. There was enough space in the cinema. Like, go in front of them so that the light doesn't bother you. Just, you can say one thing. Mm. You can say, guys, turn off your phones, please.
Yes.
It's disturbing. If they still don't do it, fucking, it's your problem.
Yeah.
It's the same as the Bioscope moving from Mubbening. If you've got one person that's making noise, maybe I could have spoken to that bar and figured a deal out.
Exactly.
But if everyone's got speakers and everyone's loud, I'm in the wrong place. Like, I've got to move. Yeah. I can't tell seven bars in Mubbening to keep quiet.
Right.
So there was the mistake. And some people were even playing games. It's like, well, fucking let them play games. It's annoying.
Yeah.
You know, fuck, they're in the wrong place.
Yes.
I think
No.
Okay, good. There's more.
She said, well, who was it? And then he pointed this person out.
Yeah.
And then this person saw themselves being pointed out, and then they came over.
Oh, right.
And then in this lobby was just, fuck you, fuck you, well, fuck you. It just, no one lowered themselves
to have a conversation.
Yes. And I got out of there so fucking quickly. I just literally like hit reverse.
You didn't go like,
no, pull out my cell phone. No, it was just so nasty, and it was just such a unnecessary thing because, you know what? As I said, you know, you should not have your phone out, but fuck, if you do, what can you do?
It makes sense in an unpaid screening. But if you go to IMAX and you pay 210 rand for a ticket.
Yeah.
No, of course.
And, you know, someone's there, then it's kind of like,
I think if you're not really interested in the movie and you're going to be on your phone, just sit at the back.
Yeah.
So if you sit in the last row, no one's going to see your phone.
Sure. But the big misstep was that like personal dramatic comment of like, if you didn't want to be here, you should have stayed home. It's like, oh, fuck.
What I love about South Africans as well is that there won't be the conversation, right? We won't have the quiet, calm thing. What they'll do is they will brood on it for like 10 minutes. It happened to Gad and I when we went to open for, I can't even remember Crash Test Dummies.
Yes.
At Pretoria Botanical Gardens. And there was like a weird like place on a pier that we went to go stand at after we'd opened and then go watch the rest of the bands from there and get a drink.
Okay.
And then Gad and I just innocently standing there.
Yeah.
And then, with the same people around us for a good 15 to 20 minutes. And then all of a sudden this woman comes from behind us and she's like, how dare you stand in front of me? You turn. And you're just like, I don't know. You were there. Sorry, we're just blasé. And we didn't realize. We thought maybe we were standing further ahead in front of you enough for you to
sit on stage. Is it our passive aggressive? Where
it's passive aggressive, dude.
We're going to wait. We're going to wait and see.
Yeah, because surely they'll be considerate enough to move and think about me.
And then it builds
up. That's South African energy.
Oh, weird. No, it was just unnecessary.
And then they don't think about you after 10 minutes because they're in their own world, shame. And then you go, oh, they're not thinking about me. They go full on Hulk mode. It's ridiculous.
Wild.
Yeah. So that was that. And it's, you know.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. It was very interesting.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the bigger stuff and bigger films. We touched on D23, which is the Disney convention. I want to tell you guys about what I did last week, which was I went to a very similar junket.
Mm-hmm.
So this is announcement of all the upcoming movies for the distributor UIP.
Okay, so they do like Universal, Paramount.
They do a bunch of big studio films. They're currently the distributors of the film The Bike Riders, which we're screening at the Bioscope. Yeah. And they've got a very cool and very big, exciting slate ahead of them.
Cool.
They've just recently had Despicable Me
as
their sort of big tentpole. The biggest one coming later this year is Wicked, the film adaptation of the musical, the Broadway musical.
Which they're not advertising as part one because it's a two-part movie.
Yes. Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah.
Is that I'm seeing a little, I've seen one or two little mentions of it, but they're not calling it that, which is interesting.
Yeah.
It's actually going to be a two-parter. Leslie, my fiance, has been to the show and she said it is a bit of a longie.
Mm-hmm.
It is a bit of a long show. So it makes some sense that they're dividing it up into two movies. But what was very cool about this is that we saw some trailers that haven't been released yet.
Okay.
And we saw extended scenes of movies.
Interesting.
So I got to see the opening scene of Gladiator 2.
Okay.
Ooh.
Yeah. Amongst a few others. So I want to talk about that quick.
Mm-hmm.
It looks fucking big and epic and awesome.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
Mm.
I don't know how it ties in necessarily and how it fits into the first one.
Yes.
But it looks cool.
Okay.
It looks like there's big ships on an ocean, coming towards our main characters, looking after this sort of fortified place on the water. There's a big bloody fight. It's cool.
Oh, it starts with a battle scene.
Starts big. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh. Go Ridley.
Right.
Well, how is he involved?
He's the director. He's
directing it. Is he directing Gladiator 2?
100%. There's a photo of him on set with Pedro Pascal being 83 years old, like walking around, giving direction, pointing. Go Ridley, go!
Okay, I wasn't sure whether, because a lot of Ridley's stuff gets these sequels and he's not always in them.
Right, yes.
Right.
Because the other one being Alien,
which
we should mention at some point.
And Blade Runner.
Okay, so he's directing that. Okay, that's cool. Yeah, Pedro, you see a bit of him.
Cool.
Hardcore Roman soldier.
Okay.
Which they feel like the bad guys at this point.
Right.
In this opening scene.
This isn't going to help everyone's obsession with Pedro Pascal at all. It's just going to make it worse.
Yeah.
I then got to see an extended scene from The Wild Robot.
Okay.
And I want to talk about The Wild Robot.
Yeah, you've been talking about this for a while now.
I saw this coming and I was like, this looks fucking so good. It is a film that is going to be out at the end of September. It's an animated family film.
Based on a kid's book? Like, I think quite a popular kid's book.
Is it?
I think so.
Okay. So, a robot that lands on an island. So, there's no humans. It's just this robot and the animals of this island.
Okay.
And you get the sense that the robot has imprinted itself on a little duckling.
Okay.
And then the story seems to be the duckling growing up, but the duckling seems to be weaker than others. And so the film mostly seems to be the training and the prepping of this duckling to then join the migration.
Right.
And you get the sense, even from the trailer, that this is the robot doing more than it should. It shouldn't even have feelings. But this robot grows to love the animals and sort of is able to communicate with the animals of this forest. And the big scenes you get to get the sense of is when this migration happens. So like the beautiful colors of like autumn. And it's done in the same style as some of the Spider-Verse-y textures.
Of course it is.
Okay. Where it's not that crisp.
That's like the new fashion.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not the crisp Pixar look.
Yeah.
It's this more like watercolory,
painted
design. But it's still got, it's still a little more Pixar than, you know, something like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles one, which was very punk rock sketchy.
Yeah.
But it just, even from the trailer, you're like, what is this?
Mm.
After 2 minutes, you got goosebumps, like a little teary-eyed. And I was like, this better be fucking good because it looks amazing.
Yeah.
This looks like a new, like, kids classic. Looks like a classic film. It's got Wall-E meets the Iron Giant.
Okay.
So can I tell you my gripe with this movie?
Yes.
The book released in 2016.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. In the same year, a cinematic trailer for a computer game called Overwatch released. Okay. So Overwatch is a game, for those who don't know, where you play as a certain character on a team with people against another team of characters. And what Overwatch did in the studio Blizzard is they created these cinematic trailers which look absolutely incredible. And they went through this entire journey of doing this multi-platform storytelling thing, which was fun to watch. So you're seeing all these random characters have these beautifully like Pixar level animated short films online.
Okay.
One of those characters is called Bastion. and they released, it was a big robot, okay? And they released a trailer called, or the cinematic short film called The Last Bastion,
right?
Where a robot wakes up in a forest and makes a relationship with a bird, creates a relationship with a bird. And then some of this robot's old programming comes in where it like shoots up the forest because it's a war robot.
Right.
But then it chooses not to be a war robot anymore and has a friendship with this little bird.
Okay.
And it's, I was like, whenever I've seen similar. This trailer to The Wild Robots, I've like had this cinematic in the back of my mind the whole time where I'm like, okay, chicken and egg, which of these came first?
Yeah,
I wonder.
Is this a case of just both ideas happening at the same time?
I was going to say, if it's in the same year, then it's unlikely that they kind of copy-paste it. Because you're not going to write an entire book.
Yes.
You know, and get it published.
Exactly.
Yeah. Interesting. But these twin flames sort of happen.
But I mean, even that concept is very Iron Giant, but with a bird instead of a boy.
Yes.
You know?
So. Exactly.
And so at this junket, I saw like the scene, the big, not to give too much away, but the big like migration payoff sort of moment, which was a bold scene to give. But at least for me, it was like, okay, this is the pip of this movie. This is the like core. Nice. This whole movie is going to be underpinned by this moment.
Yes.
And it was incredible.
Okay.
And I just was like, oh my God, this is going to be amazing. Apparently, the movie starts off quite slow.
Okay.
In the way in which Wall-E starts off quite slow. There's no one speaks in the beginning.
Okay.
So the distributors, when I was talking to them, they sort of said it like that was a bad thing. I was like, guys, remember Wall-E. No one speaks in the beginning. Like, I expected it to be like this. Mm. Like, this is going to be good.
Yeah.
Please don't apply TikTok logic to filmmaking, guys.
Yeah. So that was a great payoff.
Okay,
The two things I want to talk about, which I think are very interesting that are coming up, one of which is a big biopic on Michael Jackson.
Oh.
Which looks wild.
Okay.
Thankfully, it's not named after one of his songs, which is what seems to be the trope.
Yes.
With music biopics. But it's just called Michael.
Okay.
And apparently, not apparently, definitely, one of his family members is playing him.
Whoa.
Can you just double check who's playing?
Okay.
But it's definitely the person's surname is Jackson.
Right.
Oh, it's not Miles Teller. Sorry, he plays John Branca. And
he's in the film. So we saw a trailer from it.
Okay.
Ooh. And it looks pretty good.
Ooh, Coleman Domingo is playing Joe Jackson.
Yeah.
So he's an actor that you'll recognize from a lot of stuff. Yeah. I know him from Euphoria.
No.
Ooh, I just got excited about this.
It's interesting.
Jafar Jackson.
Jafar.
It's a fucking badass name. You're named after Jafar.
Yeah, it's wild. It's a big swing. The bad guy from Aladdin.
Yeah.
And then the other film coming up, which I think you guys would be very interested in if you don't know already, is a live action How to Train Your Dragon.
Oh, yes. I didn't know about this. Yeah.
Hey.
From the director of the animated ones as
well. Yeah. So it's been a long enough time that it can be completely rebooted, but now in live action. So, and it looks real interesting.
Okay. So did they actually show like footage?
We saw footage.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
So, Jilly.
The dragon.
Yes.
Still looks basically the same.
Okay.
You know,
does it have big cartoon eyes or do they look like realistic dragon eyes?
No, it still has big cartoon eyes. Okay. And the humans almost look cartoony.
Oh.
And to the point where you're like, wait, did they add in extra like CGI to change their faces?
Interesting.
But it's not really. I think it's mostly makeup.
Okay.
That is making them look more like the animated characters.
Whoa. Right. Oh, no ways. Ricky Baker is playing fish legs.
Who's Ricky Baker?
Ricky Baker, it's your birthday. From Hunt for the Wilder People. So if you know Deadpool 2, he's the kid.
Yes, okay.
The superpowers. Fat kid from Hunt for the Wilder People.
Yeah.
Who's he playing?
Fishlegs is the very nerdy character in How to Train Your Dragon who's like also a big person that knows all the information from the textbooks, right? It's about all the dragons.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was cool.
Yes.
And that was a special.
And Gerard Butler's still playing Stoic.
I mean, who else could do it?
That is rad. I'm actually kind of excited about this.
I'm like still on the fence about it because these remakes are kind of redundant, but the fact that it's the same director
makes me feel like he's
not going to just repeat himself and remake the exact same film.
Yes.
Hopefully.
We'll give a bit more.
We'll see what the studio has to say about that.
Yes.
Yeah. So I thought that, I thought those parts were lovely.
Okay, cool.
And it was cool to spend this morning. So big shout out and thanks to UIP for that. And yeah, I'm gonna screen Wild Robot.
Cool.
I think it's gonna be cool. It'll come at the end of September.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, I think last little thing on D23.
Yeah.
What was exciting? What is worth?
I mean, so much. So I think the trailer I was most excited about was
let's save trailers. Let's talk about like just the stuff they announced.
Okay.
And then we can talk about trailers. Because they also use this as a platform to just announce things that they have nothing to really show for.
Okay.
Yeah.
So like Frozen 3, like you said, Zootopia 2. Mm. They announced Incredibles 3,
mm-hmm.
which is interesting. Because Brad Bird was like, when he made the second one, he was like, I'm waiting until there's something that I actually want to do with this. Like, I'm not going to do it for the sake of it.
Okay.
So if they've actually got, because Brad Bird is doing it again, which makes me go, okay, cool. If Brad Bird's doing it, I'm okay
with this.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because he's an incredibly underrated director. They announced the title for Avatar 3.
Cool.
Which is Avatar Fire and Ash, which is very
dramatic.
So again, dramatic.
James Cameron's probably copying Avatar The Last Airbender. Let's not talk
about
that. Yeah,
exactly.
Where each chapter is based on an element. So come on, Jimmy.
They showed, so a lot of stuff they all show the audience there, but they don't actually release it online, at least not for a while.
Okay.
Which is interesting. So they showed like footage from Fantastic Four. And they showed footage from the movie with the worst title ever.
Yeah.
The Mandalorian and Grogu.
Oh, it's fucking terrible.
Awful title. What are they doing?
Yeah, you know, because they're pandering to, I don't know, Grogu being the cutest character in Star Wars and being marketable and then not coming up with good titles and just being producers.
Even Grogu and The Mandalorian sounds better than The Mandalorian and Grogu.
Yeah, but it has to start with The Mandalorian.
Ay-ay-ay.
You know what
I mean? So my question is, is this superseding season 4 of The Mandalorian? Like, is there no season 4? Because they haven't actually announced season 4 yet.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if they're doing this like in lieu of a new season to kind of
end
the story.
Is this a TV show?
No, this is a movie. This is like a theatrical movie.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. Mm. I think Jon Favreau is directing it.
Okay.
I think. Okay. I'm pretty sure it's Favreau. But they showed footage for that. So people were, yay, Star Wars.
Freakier Friday.
Yes, that's another one. With Jamie Lee Curtis and
Lindsay Lohan.
And Lindsay Lohan are both back. So
that's
something. That's
exciting. What could possibly happen?
they swap bodies again.
Yes. Yeah. Maybe there's a third person involved and it gets more complicated. It's like that episode of Futurama. They also announced, which is quite cool, so they're doing a new Tron movie for some reason, even though Tron has never been successful.
Yeah.
They're doing a new Tron movie. So the last one, Daft Punk did the soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
Nine Inch Nails is doing the soundtrack for this one.
Cool.
That is awesome.
Yeah, yeah. So Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross have made a new career for themselves doing the scores of many films.
Yes.
So most recently, Challengers, which was awesome. But yeah, it's usually the more darkest, sinister stuff.
Exactly. And it's interesting that they're doing it under the title of Nine Inch Nails, not Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross.
Yes.
It's like Nine Inch Nails are doing it. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
So it could be good or it could be terrible.
I mean, I saw someone talking about, who was the other cast member in Tron Ares?
Well, Jared Leto's in it.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Jeff Bridges is back, which is great.
Yeah, someone was talking about a cast member being like, yeah, Nine Inch Nails. Yeah, Jared Leto. Oh, fuck.
So this new Tron is called Tron Ares.
Ares.
Okay.
Which is interesting.
And it's red instead of blue. It's like all we know about it. They showed some footage.
Yes. Oh, did they show footage?
Yeah, I saw a filmed cell phone. Someone filming something in the audience.
Okay.
And the amount of people on social
media. Put away your cell phone.
Yes.
The amount of people who aren't excited or like skeptical about Nine Inch Nails doing the soundtrack.
Oh, really?
Because they're like, nothing's going to beat Daft Punk soundtrack. I'm like, fuck off. Shut up. You never watch Challengers because you're a dweeb that only watches what Disney releases. Like, shut up. Yeah. Shut up, moron.
If you don't want to be here, go home.
Oh, my Lord. That's very funny.
Lovely.
Okay, but they did show a bunch of trailers for new stuff.
Okay, so let's hear those.
Moana 2, for one.
Cool.
Second trailer, which is a movie, I'm going to be honest, I'm concerned.
Okay.
Okay, my problem with this film is, so they actually announced a Moana TV series.
Okay.
Like a while ago, long before they announced the movie. And that seems to have just disappeared. Like they've made no more. They announced it and then nothing happened. My concern is what they've done is repackaged the TV show as a movie.
Okay.
Instead of releasing it as a TV show, which Disney's kind of done. They sort of do that a lot with their like straight to DVD sequels.
Right. Yeah.
They used to back in the day, they would do like a spin-off TV show, and then they'd take like the first three episodes of the TV show and call it a movie.
Oh dear.
And they used to do that all the time.
Yeah. I know.
So that's my concern for this, that they've just kind of like squashed the TV show into a movie as opposed
well,
to releasing
that never
it
works
as a TV
well.
Show. Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh well. It's a movie for the kiddies.
Yeah, but the first one's so good. I fucking love the first one. It's an incredible movie.
Yeah.
So I want this one to be good.
Okay.
I really hope it doesn't really have a bad song like Shiny in it, because I think it's stuck in my head and I hate it so much.
Which song was Shiny?
Shiny. The one that...
The Crab. The song that the Crab sings.
Jermaine Clemens sings.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's
I just remember the You're Welcome not being
yes.
not being the strongest song in my head. But the main.
Yes.
Have you seen the thing where someone shows you what that sounds like if you sing it in a Scottish accent?
Yeah.
Okay, wait. Let's pause the podcast and edit this out while I search
for
it. Sorry.
Good.
I can tell you a story in the meantime.
Yeah, let's
so,
go.
So Disney can repackage these IPs
yes.
and license them to schools around the world
okay.
to do Moana the musical for schools.
Yes. Yeah.
So you get the rights to do it and you get the music that you can sing along to and, yes. you do all these things. And so St. Peter's Girls School did it last year. I can tell you that because I sat in the audience and watched my niece.
Like an official Moana.
It's an official Moana
wow.
musical.
Okay.
And we heard that main song. A solid 10 times. Because that's the song everyone wants to hear.
Yes.
And to be honest, the chickie who got cast as Moana
okay.
fucking nailed it. But like, heard that song many times.
Yes. Okay, yeah. Good Lord.
Okay, so what happened? There was a meme online that took a clip from this Moana song, the big
yeah.
one. I still don't know what it's called.
Which one?
The famous one.
I can't remember.
Okay.
I do
know. But then
I think
someone
how
said,
far I'll go.
I can't be the only one who hears, it's like the tides always fucking rising in a heavy Scottish accent. And go listen
lovely.
To it. And it's hectic. So you can't even hear it.
Yeah, I love that part of the internet which makes you sort of question what you hear.
Yes.
And there's one guy that's like, you can't ever hear the song again if I show you a picture of who I think sang it.
Yes.
And it's the one was Mr. Brightside by The Killers with a picture of Jerry Seinfeld. And you can't unhear
him singing.
The fact that it sounds like he's actually singing it.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it kind of ruins it for you.
Oh, my Lord.
But yeah, lovely, guys. Thank you for a lovely chat. Is there anything else that's burning up inside that you need to mention?
There's a bunch more trailers.
There's tons more.
Well, there was a trailer for Snow White, which is a movie no one cares about or wants.
Oh,
cool.
So who gives a shit?
I'm just like, why didn't you cast little people as the dwarves?
Well, I kind of get where they're coming from in the sense that...
It's an adaptation of the animation, so they're trying to make it look like the animated characters.
Well, not just that, but in the sense that, like, in fantasy, dwarves are typically, like, an entirely different race of people. They're not human beings.
Right.
Like, you know, Tolkien dwarves and that sort of thing. So but if you hire actual little people, you're like, they're not human.
Right.
I think that's the issue. And I think, like, Peter Dinklage had stuff to say about it that really, like,
sorry,
directed
what,
the...
What happened?
With regards to?
This movie. Cause they,
well, it's Snow White.
Yeah,
Snow White
yeah.
and the Seven Dwarves.
Yeah, yeah.
And the dwarves are all CGI.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay. Yeah. But there was a thing that came out, and then there was a bit of outrage, and then they redid it.
No.
No.
There was a... There
you're
was
thinking
a,
of Rachel Ziegler? Is
yes.
that her name?
Yeah.
Talking shit about the original fairy tale. Like
which
saying
one?
That
no,
it's a
well, there was
story.
A, well, there was a picture. They released a picture
okay.
of Snow White, and there was some problem. It was a little bit like the sort of Sonic the Hedgehog. There was sort of a bit of a like, uh-oh.
I don't think
and
they've
then they
done
went back
anything
and changed
since.
It.
I don't think they've changed
okay.
it since. I don't think they can. I think it's too late when like that volume of CGI.
Okay.
But again, who cares? Like, no one's going to watch this movie.
Yeah.
I think Rachel Ziegler was kind of saying like, "Hey, the original story sort of outdated and like its views are a bit like not great." And everyone went,
"Disney classic." A whole bunch of conservatives suddenly gave a shit about Snow White.
Yeah, like they did with the Little Mermaid, a movie they haven't even seen, and they're suddenly angry about.
Yes. What is Snow White again? Sleeping Beauty is the woman literally sleeping.
Yes.
What is Snow White?
She has the poisoned apple from the queen that thinks she's the most beautiful woman in the world.
Yeah.
But then Mirror Mirror on the Wall says, no, Snow White's the most beautiful
actually
woman.
Snow White.
Yes.
And then she makes a poisoned apple, gives it to Snow White. And
well,
then,
first she's like, she's real pretty, go kill her. So,
yes.
And then the huntsman like lets her go and she finds the the little village of dwarves.
Oh, yeah, I forgot that part.
And then the...
They made an entire film series off of that intro bit with the huntsman?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, Snow White at the huntsman. Yeah. And the huntsman. And so then she does sleep at some point, right? The apple...
Yes.
But the apple doesn't kill her. It
puts her out.
Yeah.
And then the...
Weird. And then the, weird choice, by the way.
And then the little folk, like, kind of bring her back to life.
No, they cry about her and the prince kisses her and she comes back to life.
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, that's why it's outdated, because...
One of the reasons. Okay, so we spend a lot of time talking about a movie that no one cares about.
yeah.
Did you see the trailer for Skeleton Crew?
Yes.
It looks cool.
Did you see how cute the little baby elephant kid looks?
Yes.
I was like, oh my God. So basically...
So yes. I knew nothing about this.
All I knew about it was that
this is a Star Wars TV series that has Jude Law in it.
Yes.
And they're like, Jude Law's like a smuggler or something like that. Okay, so I was thinking, okay, that's the tone.
Yes.
Turns out it's Goonies in space.
Yeah.
So all the main characters are kids. Mm. And they wind up going on this like
Star Wars adventure.
Yes. It looks amazing.
And Jude Law is the Jedi.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. Like, yeah. We don't know. He's got force powers.
Yes.
But the kids say, you're a Jedi?
Yeah.
It looks fucking great. The trailer was like dope.
Skeleton Crew.
Yeah. It looks like a lot of fun.
Okay.
Because I knew nothing about it. I watched this trailer.
It's a Star Wars show.
Yeah. Okay. And people like, the trailer opens and it's kind of like suburban Star Wars. Like opens in like a suburban neighborhood and people are like, bruh, 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 this isn't Star Wars. I'm like, George Lucas put a 50s diner in Attack of the Clones. You don't get to complain about a freaking neighborhood.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I must say,
Star Wars fans are annoying. It's exhausting.
I hate
liking
them.
Star Wars.
Yes.
And I'm being online.
I must say, I'm in the camp of like, I just don't care what you say. It's like, this is what they're doing.
Yeah.
You know?
No, totally.
And just, yeah. Okay. All right. So that's cool. The Skeleton Crew. All right.
And then obviously you brought up the Lion King prequel earlier.
Yeah.
Which, the fact that it's from Barry Jenkins is kind of like the one thing that's...
It's like the redeeming quality. I mean, I must admit, like some of the shots and just the way it looks kind of has me intrigued, which I don't like. Because the first one is like a cinematic sin that's this emotionless, dramaless thing of cats being like, looking like cats.
Yeah.
And not being animated. So this looks like... It's kind of more animated.
Yeah, they're definitely like they're much more expressive.
So that's why I'm hoping it's going to be good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Mufasa is the big Disney film of this holiday season.
Yeah.
It'll go up against Wicked, which is a different distributor, but they will compete for the big family movie of the Christmas this year. Mufasa obviously tells the story of Mufasa growing up. And you get this sense that Scar had another name and was a stray that they picked up.
No, other way around. Mufasa's the stray that they pick up.
Interesting.
Mufasa's adopted.
I missed that.
Yeah.
Okay. And then so these two lions are growing up together.
Yes.
Figuring out who's going to be the king.
It's real Moses. It's real Prince of Egypt vibes.
Yeah,
that's right. That's right.
Yeah. Moses and the reeds.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you kind of feel bad because this is the thing that's good about it. The premise is interesting.
Yeah.
Because you sit there and Scar's like, I've always wanted a brother.
Yes.
And then he gets Mufasa and adopts a brother. You're like, oh my God. No.
And then also just the whole notion that Disney is obsessed with monarchy, so everything's about monarchies. In theory, if Mufasa's like the adoptive one into the situation, Scar is the one who's supposed to be the king. But for whatever reason, these people choose Mufasa over Scar.
Yes.
And I think that sort of animosity for the Sikh in terms of like, Lion King essentially being a sequel to this, so to speak.
Yes.
It makes that relationship more interesting. Yeah. I've seen people saying like, oh no, this like ruins the story and it makes Scar not as bad. I'm like, No, it doesn't.
It makes him more bad.
Yes.
He still kills him.
Exactly.
He still sends the wildebeest.
But it makes like his animosity more interesting because it was just a case of, oh, Mufasa was the one who was always going to be the king and now Scar's just grumpy about it. That's not interesting.
It
works in the context of the first film because the backstory doesn't matter in The Lion King.
Yeah,
but now that is the story, it does matter.
And of course now it's shot in the new way that Disney is doing it, which is, you know, live action, as we
so
said.
To speak.
So everything's more realistic, but of course everything is animated.
Mm-hmm. That doesn't look quite as like super photoreal as the first one. I think they're deliberately skewing it a little bit more animated looking in order to like allow like, because you can't take like super realistic animals and give them human expressions.
It
doesn't work.
It
like you have to like tweak their designs a bit to like allow that to work.
Yeah. So you feel that in this trailer, the newer trailer, you get a smidge of a song that allows you to understand that this is going to be a musical too.
I mean,
but once again, we are being deceived. Yes. Same with Wicked. You're not getting a sense of the musicals. Yeah. Someone somewhere said in testing, don't reveal that it's a musical.
Yes.
Because people don't like musicals. But people fucking love musicals. So I don't understand it.
Well, sometimes. Because sometimes they're either very successful or they flop hard.
It's yes. One or the other. I think that's perhaps that's true. And so perhaps the best thing to do is to catch you by surprise.
Yeah, maybe.
And so there'll be a lot of people that will be reminded that The Lion King has songs in it.
Exactly.
When this movie starts and they break out into song. It looks like Lin-Manuel Miranda's once again involved. He seems to be the go-to make my movie a musical guy. Mufasa is later this year.
Yeah, December.
December. All right, guys.
Yeah.
I think it's been a good day. Mm. We've spoken a lot of good cuck about movies and series. I have started the TV show Will Trent.
Okay.
On Disney Plus. It looks to be a good, solid detective-y show.
Okay.
I think what's interesting to mention at this point is that it's not shit. It's done well. And I also am realizing that despite it being a detective show where you get the chance to solve a crime each time, they are solving it in more than one episode.
Okay.
Which I think is very interesting.
Yes.
I find it phenomenal to look back on 10 years ago in television when a detective solved a crime in 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Because that's what they once did.
Yes.
We then have now gotten these episodic detective shows where a whole crime is solved in 40 minutes to an hour. But now they seem to be taking a little bit longer, which is interesting.
Okay.
You get into it a bit more.
Yes.
Yeah, it's like True Detective, right? The Feel, a season.
Yeah, it feels a bit more true to life.
Like 20 years in True Detective.
Yeah.
Yeah, it feels a bit more true to sort of how these stories unfold. There's multiple ones going at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
He looks like a really interesting character. He's presented in a slightly different way to what we've normally seen.
Okay.
He's Hispanic, so there's this kind of push to show you a detective that's not a white guy.
Yeah.
There's some nuance to him. It'll slowly be revealed. I was hooked.
Nice.
Sort of always saw it on the display, you know, for Disney Plus.
Okay.
Was like, let's just give it a try.
Yeah.
Have you guys watched Shogun?
No, I've heard it's very good.
I started it.
No, because people have said it's like the best show of the year.
Yeah.
We need to get on that.
Yeah. It's a remake of a show.
I think it's based on a book.
No, there was John Rhys-Davies was in the original.
Oh.
Yeah.
John Rhys-Davies, who did he play?
I don't know.
Not the lead samurai guy, I hope.
I assume not.
Yeah,
Gimli as a samurai.
Yeah, but he was talking about it on that. We've mentioned Michael Rosenbaum's podcast a few times. John Rhys-Davies was on an episode of that. It's really good.
Okay, rad.
Yeah. Mm.
Lovely. Thanks, guys.
Mm.
And thanks for listening thus far.
Yeah.
Our home base is thevideostore.co.za. And tune in again soon.
Yep.
Should we mention Alien?
Yes. So this Thursday, Cole and I are doing essentially an Alien episode. We spoke about all six movies in the Alien franchise.
Yeah.
And it's going to be long.
It's a really insightful discussion.
I hope so.
About, we did a lot of research on production and we get into the hows and whys of all the things you've heard about, like why Fincher's film was so hectic and what made the first original and the production challenges they went through. So a lot of interesting insight into it and a fun chat about the entire series as a whole.
Yeah.
Cool. So as we said, that's going to be this coming Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
So look out for that.
Yeah.
And we'll see you soon.
Yeah.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Cheers, guys.
Bye.